Welcome to Common Prayer, episode 56 on Tuesday, May 26th. We continue exploring the sacraments, and today we look at baptism. Baptism is one of the sacraments every believer participates in, and is certainly important in our steps of faith in God. While it's known by most people, some of the details in what it means and what it does for us aren't fully understood. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello and welcome again. This is Brandon. I'm the worship director here at CPC, and I just want to welcome you to another episode of Common Prayer. We're in our second day of the sacraments, and day one, we just sort of talked about what sacrament means, where we get the word. Sacramentum was an oath that the Romans would swear to their leaders, and it was kind of the most solemn vow that they could do, and the early Christian church kind of saw that, and they decided to take the word for themselves and develop some practices, ordinances, things that they could put in the rhythm of their church to acknowledge their sacred vow to their Lord, to Jesus. And so I thought it would be worth exploring what these mean to us as we look into it over the years and with the Protestant Reformation and everything that has happened. You know, we've kind of moved away. There's this sort of moving away from things that are sacred or high church. And I think sometimes we can be at risk of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. And we can lose out on some really rich traditions that we join in when we do some of these, we at least explore some of these sacraments. So today I want to talk about the first sacrament. Some people call them ordinances of the church. And this is something that's really big here at CPC. It's kind of the center of our faith. This is really what we're going after, making and maturing disciples, and it's baptism. I mean, there's a lot of different opinions about baptism and how it should be done, and some believe it should be fully immersed in water, some believe in sprinkling, some believe it's a symbol of our conversion, others believe it's necessary for salvation. But I want to zoom out a bit and get us thinking about what's at the core of baptism. And to do that, I feel like we need to talk about conversion really quickly. At the heart of our Christian experience, there is what's called a conversion. And you probably thought of a conversion in the context of some sort of coercion from somebody to move a person from one religion to the next, which in a sense, I guess, is true. But it doesn't have to be another religion. And it doesn't have to be another person coercing. What's interesting about our faith is that while we're born into our traditions, maybe even born into a family that believes a certain thing, we're not born converted into the faith of our parents. And at CBC, we believe that the Bible is pretty clear in saying that there's a decision that we all must make to follow Jesus. But something else happens when we make that decision, something we have no control over. The Holy Spirit steps in and begins to change us. One definition of conversion says it like this. It says it's the process of changing or causing something to change from one form to another. So when we choose God through the Spirit's power, we change from our old self and we're made into a new creation by God. It is impossible to unite ourselves with Christ using our own strength, using our own means, using our own clever nature. Like, we need to be converted. We don't convert ourselves. And I think that's really, really important when we think about baptism. We need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We can't regenerate ourselves. We need to repent of our sins. That's kind of our part. We need to put our faith, our personal trust in Jesus Christ. But the only one who can forgive our sins, the only one who can commend us to God on the basis of his death and resurrection is Jesus. And I say all this to say that when this miracle of God happens, when this conversion takes place, when this change happens, it's miraculous. And in the Bible, when we see that change happen, time and time and time again, the next step is always, always being baptized. But I want to look at one story in particular, and it's found in the book of Acts, and it's the Ethiopian eunuch. And this is just going to be a real quick flyover. If you want to read it, it's Acts 8, 26 through 40. But basically, you have the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's driving his chariot home from Jerusalem one day. And this is pretty soon after Jesus rose from the dead and he returned to heaven. And he had some understanding of God. He had some motivation to honor God and worship God according to the Jewish custom. This guy is reading Isaiah 53, which if you've read Isaiah 53, it's just powerful, powerful, powerful imagery of the suffering of Jesus, the suffering of our Savior. It doesn't say Jesus in the Old Testament, but it's pointing, it's a prophecy to our suffering Messiah. And as we look at the New Testament, we see that was Jesus. And so what happens? He starts struggling with this passage. And an angel guides Philip, the evangelist, to catch up to the chariot. And then the man asks Philip for spiritual guidance. And Philip gets this awesome privilege of telling him the good news about who Jesus is from Isaiah 53. And when he heard this, the eunuch's mind opened to the truth of God. And he saw his spiritual need. He saw God's provision, even in bringing Philip to him. And right then and there, he's converted. He's saved by grace through his own faith. He becomes a Christian. He becomes a living part of the new creation that Jesus began on the cross and with his resurrection. And then a strange thing happens. His conversion isn't enough. His new understanding is insufficient. He feels a need for more. He needs to do something more, or maybe he wants something to have done to him to confirm this new identity, to signify what God had just accomplished in his life, to declare his union with Christ. It was bursting out of him, and so he asks Philip to baptize him. And the chariot stops behind by some water, and maybe it's a river or a lake or something, and Luke tells this story. Verse 2, both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Can you imagine that? What a scene. There's this mystery that happens when we declare our union with Christ through baptism. The Holy Spirit gets involved and crazy things happen. Baptism reminds us of what God did in us. It reminds us of what God did for us. When I baptize people, I often say, right before I'm about to dunk them, I say, buried with Christ in his death. And then I put him underwater and bring him back up. And I say, raised to new life in his resurrection. It's a celebration. So what really happens when we get baptized? What are we really saying? I think the first thing we're saying is that it's signifying our union with Christ. It's more than a statement of belief. I was reading with one pastor and he put it like this. His name is Rob Benson. He said, it's an act of revolution where I commit myself to die to my sinful nature and rise with Christ to live. I don't think there's magic that happens in baptism, but it is also a sign of spiritual cleansing, and that's all over Scripture. I think it's also a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just like we talked about, you don't convert yourself, right? You don't regenerate yourself. That's God doing that in you. And if that's happened to you, that means the Holy Spirit is in your life. You have the Holy Spirit. And lastly, I think it's a confession of your faith in Jesus. Every baptism, it's a powerful symbol of what salvation is all about. But it's not just that. Your public confession, the reason it's public is because it's also an opportunity to share about Jesus, just like Philip did, so that others can believe, so that others can be strengthened, so that others can be baptized. So here's what I want to do today as we close and as we spend some time with God. I'm going to ask you to make yourself comfortable. I'm going to ask you maybe take a few deep breaths and allow yourself to calm down if you're worked up at all. Maybe you've had a crazy day. But in light of that whole start, that this is a sign of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to just start by asking you, are you open to what the Holy Spirit is doing? Are you remaining open to who God is and what he wants to do in your life? It might help sometimes a posture thing. I just sit with my palms facing the ceiling, my eyes closed, and just say, God, I want you to know that I'm open to you. As scary as it might be, as much as I might question your voice, I want to be open to your Spirit's leading, because that's what I'm truly called to do. So just take a second here and let's open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. As we said, baptism signifies our union with Christ. It's a revolution where we commit ourselves to die to our sinful nature and rise with Christ to live a new life. So I want to ask you, as we're open to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you need to die to today? We all have our own wills. We have our own thoughts and our own plans and desires. So lay those at the feet of Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit, what piece of your old self do you need to die to today? What's holding on to you? Maybe there's an anxiety. Maybe there's some kind of stress going on. Maybe there's a plan that isn't going well. Maybe there's a relationship that seems to be suffering. Whatever it might be, I'm going to ask for you to surrender that to God this morning and ask him to show you where you need to die to your own will and begin to live life in him. As we talked about, there's no magic in the act of baptism, but it is a sign of spiritual cleansing. And so I want to spend just a few moments here expressing your gratitude for that. I mean, to understand the true magnitude that he looks at you and he declares you righteous. That hymn that we sing, Jesus paid it all. Sin had left its crimson stain. There's a stain that sin left on all of us. But when Jesus died and he was raised to new life, he washed that stain white as snow, and Jesus sees it no more. Thank him for making you new. Thank him for cleansing you. Whatever gratitude comes to mind, I'm going to ask that you take a minute and express that to God. Father, we thank you for your presence in our life. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you guide us, that you prompt us to follow after you, that you are a counselor, you're a comforter, and you're a healer. Father, we thank you so much for that. Lord, we want to spend each and every day confessing our faith in who you are, Lord, so that others may see. God, will you help us understand more clearly, Lord, the mystery of your kingdom, the mystery of who you are and what you've done. Lord, that we may not just learn more in knowledge, but as we lean deeper and deeper into who you are, we would become like you, and that our love for you would grow. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Before we end here, I just want to say, if you have confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're following after Jesus Christ and he's your Savior and you haven't been baptized, I want to encourage you to contact me. You can just email me at bpassion@cpc.org, P-A-S-I-O-N. I would love to hear from you and chat with you about that, because I think this is such a great opportunity to do what we talked about. I hope this has been helpful for you today and pushed you in the right direction. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Common Prayer today. Common Prayer is a ministry hosted by Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. Today's episode was hosted by Brandon Passion, our worship pastor, with original music by him as well. Check back on our website daily for more episodes, and thanks again for listening.